on quarantine.
Blog Talk Radio.
Because she's sick, it doesn't.
Red wine, you make me feel so fine. Monkey pack.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters and maybe a Twisted Mister or two. I hope everyone's having a great week so far. I know it's only Tuesday. I say it all the time. But I hope you all have a better week to follow. Anyway, hi, Pam. Hey, Naomi.
Hello, hello.
Hello, ladies. Good to hear you both.
Hello.
Very cool. So, anyway, I hope you guys are doing well tonight, as well as everyone else. Kind of quiet, kind of crazy.
Absolutely. So far, so good. How about you, Naomi? How are you doing?
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah.
Awesome.
Colder down here, but today it was less cold a little bit. But I think you guys are getting it worse than us, northern United States. Snowing and everything.
I think it's drop below zero something.
Aren't you a snowstorm heading your way again? Are you?
I haven't.
Yes.
Not me. Maybe Phil.
Okay.
That's us over here on this side.
Okay.
I believe we're getting it. But then again, I heard something about there was something coming up the middle of the country. Like, now, I think it was Laurent when I said it when I was speaking to him, that it's coming up across from Texas and coming up across the country. Now, I know we're due for a bad ice storm on Friday, I think. So, it's kind of crazy from all different directions.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
Well, hope we get at least a good summer for it. we're due.
One can hope, Brando. One can hope. Oh my goodness. So, Pam, tell me all about this contest for tonight, the theme for tonight.
All right. Well, we will be having a few carryovers from Burns Night, but the main focus for tonight is a contest titled, writes from a contest titled Vera Tua Conoscador, which is translated, is Latin and is translated into English as Let Your Truth Be Known. And the prompts come from an article that I happened to run across in my, just wandering around on the internet. And the article was on Merriam-Webster online, and it was titled In Vino Veritas and Other Latin Phrases to Live By. And so it had 10 different Latin phrases, their English translation, some other information, and then a quote from a piece of literature or newspaper or something that used that particular phrase in it. And some of them, of course, are familiar, such as carpe diem, which literally translates into pluck the day, but by definition means enjoy the pleasure of the moment. Or another particularly famous one that is well known is Semper Fidelis, meaning always faithful, and is recognizable as being the quote, the saying for the Marine Corps. And there was quite a few other ones, and obviously because I personally don't have Latin memorized, other than, like basics, like the carpe diem, obviously, and so I gave the Latin phrases in the contest, but also the English translations, and it was just, fun to really see what people got out of it. And at first, to be honest, I wasn't really sure, and I did put if anybody wants to read the article, I did put the link to it at the very end of the after the prompts in the contest. You know, I wasn't so sure at first how it was going to go, but of course it went really well, and I think mainly that's a lot of because a lot of that has to do with the fact that, of course, we're dealing with poets and people who just obviously just love language, you know, and so it really just turned out like a really great turnout. And another one we probably recognize is Veni, Vidi, Vici, which means I came, I saw, I conquered. And so I'm definitely looking forward to tonight's poetry and delving into it and just, you know, hanging out with a couple of cool poets, hopefully some more, and should be an awesome night.
Yep, yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And let's drink to that. Cheers.
There you go.
Nice, with a nice bottle of wine.
Exactly. Exactly. In wine, there is truth.
Yeah, that's the one I wrote.
Yeah, quite a few people gravitated to that one. They really appreciated it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, and
I don't know, but all these pauses are making me feel like I'm supposed to say something. So, and I have no idea what to say, so.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good show, as always. And, it is amazing how, it's always interesting. It's like, when it comes to language, modern day language, and by modern day, I don't mean necessarily the slang terms that have come out on slangdictionary.com, but modern day languages in the 20th to 21st century, a lot of that has come from roots of Latin and Greek, ancient Greek. So it's really interesting. You can oftentimes see words that you know, and then if you saw the root words that they came from, which would have originally been either Latin or Greek, you would go, okay, yeah, I definitely recognize that. It's just really, but it's also interesting how different languages have evolved. And not that I know how they've evolved, but I mean, I just always found it fascinating how you can take, like, start out with Latin and Greek and different bases and then proceed throughout the centuries to so many different languages.
Oh, yeah. Well, our English is made up of Latin and Greek. It's all over the place.
Oh, absolutely.
You just take, you just take the word, for example, a telescope, like tele means far and scope means to observe. So, telescope, and so many other words, that they're just made up of, Greek and Latin roots all over the place, because of course that's where we come from. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Yep.
So it's important. I had to study Greek and Latin back in college. Like, that was one of my first courses that I had to start out with. So, well,
oh,
fun,
cool.
fun.
Very cool.
No, it would have been cool, but the professor was so boring.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that doesn't help.
Great. Yeah. No, not really. But it's fun to see, how language has evolved over the years. Like, you take any language at all, and the evolution, how it changed, even family names, how they changed over years.
Right.
When you look back, yeah. Like, yep. My name and my last name changed so much that, you know, we can't even find, we have a hard time finding where the roots have come from there. So, no, it's in
All
France
right.
somewhere, but, you know, my father did real big researches and it changed so much, you know, over the years that, yeah. I know it comes
yeah,
from France there, someplace, Normandy there, Normandy, but... But,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it changed a lot, yeah.
Yeah, and well, and the thing is a lot of people, families that came from other countries, like oftentimes like on Ellis Island when they came to the United States, their names would be changed right then and there. You know, like even
yeah.
like they just
yeah.
got off the boat and their names were changed either because they were
yeah.
too hard to pronounce or they didn't want to be identified necessarily as of Jewish heritage or, you know, whatever. And that's just an example, you know, but, you know, there's just, you know, so many reasons that people oftentimes had their names changed.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I remember speaking of names, I used to do telemarketing and we'd always run across some of the craziest names. And, yeah, well, and you know how it is that, like, a lot of times people have, like, last names like Johnson or Stevenson, and those oftentimes develop from the fact that there was somebody within their ancestry who had that first name, and then the last, this, you know, suffix, son got added to it, like, you know, John's son, his last name became Johnson. Well, I came across this last name was Jelly Sun. And I was like spelled like the, you know, the, like you spread it on bread type jelly. And I'm thinking, who the heck had the name Jelly at some point in this family?
Yeah. We have a city here close by, and it has a. I laugh because every time I pass on in that city, I get lost, and I always end up on the avenue Cockburn. and that's a real name, and it's a real town too.
It is,
and you know, in the Turk and Caicos Islands. And, you know, Cockburn, oh, my gracious, I just, you know, it's a bit immature of me, but I just imagine the poor guy going around with a name like that, Cockburn, oh, my gracious. You know,
oh, yeah,
how come
there
change his name?
Plenty of odd names out there, that's for sure, that's for sure. But I suppose since we do have, like, I already know we're going to have carryovers because we have like 24 rights or something like that, which is fine, you know. But I do think we better go ahead and get started. And so I'm going to go ahead and put up Tacit Eternity by Rich F. And Naomi, would you give that a read for us, please?
Well, Naomi just dropped.
Oops. All right. Well, then I'll go ahead and give that a read.
This is a carryover. This is a carryover, right?
Yes.
Because yes. I have one for Rich F. Okay. Just checking. I'll be quiet now.
All right. yeah, well, I appreciate you checking because, yeah, we do have one SoundCloud for him. Thank you. And Tacit Eternity by Rich F. And it goes like this. The time for talking now is over in the mountains and the glen, amongst the thistles and the clover, the inhumanity of men. Proud rulers of the universe, a new year dawns for long-lost friends. A planet ruined, human curse, and nature's wailing never ends. We and coward, timid creatures, running for their very lives. granite chiseled rough-hewn features, we draw our claymores and our knives. Fleeing from the forest fires, bagpipes pulse in eerie tune. Requiem for angel choirs underneath the Ayrshire moon. Folks from Glasgow and Argyle, join your brothers of the world. Time to make our planet smile, the flag of climate change unfurled. Reignite now nature's fire. Let the poppies grow once more. Poets burning with desire, our hearts break on a distant shore. And now the plans that we have made will come to naught, just null and void. The birds and beasts will be dismayed when Mother Nature is destroyed. The time for talking now is gone. Learn test eternity. Our seasons rolling on, I ask you now to think upon. What is dead and gone? Our world is destroyed now for eternity. End poem. And I have to say, I thought that was just absolutely a wonderful rhyming poem by Rich F. And he wrote to prompt 10, which is, I'm truly sorry man's dominion has broken nature's social union. And prompt 9, learn taciturnity and let that be your motto. And Jean, your thoughts?
I thought this was a wonderful story told. Great poem, great rhyming, as always, with Rich. He's a wonderful way with words, and a great rhyming poet through and through. And I'm so used to him having an audio that it's kind of strange that I'm, you know, commenting on his piece. But you did a great job reading it. Just wonderful, wonderful imagery throughout. And I think you did a dynamite job with this. Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
and you're right. It does have great imagery throughout. And I know what you mean when you're so used to hearing an audio from someone. It's no matter like how good a read somebody does, it's just like not quite the same because you're so used to hearing their poetry and their voice. We gave Rich and HM in this one. And what I liked about this one, besides I thought the rhyme was really nice in it, and as you mentioned, the imagery, and it told a great tale, is there was a lot of nod towards Scotland and towards Scotland's history, like, for example, the claymore being a sword that was used by Scottish warriors was really nice. A nod. Ayrshire being where Robert Burns himself was from. Again, a really nice tribute nod there. And I really just thought it was a wonderful take on the prompt and the idea that how, as we abuse Mother Nature, it's the birds and the beasts will become disappointed in us. And the time for talk is over. It's time for action. So I really thought that was an excellent take on that chosen prompt. And let's see what is next. Aha, I think we will grab one because I have two audios tonight from Martha Gettle. And so I want to make sure, you know, we get them both in, but get other ones in between. So, you know, just because mix things up. All right. And so we have Through the Eyes of Someone Else by Martha Gettle, and that's a carryover from the Burns, and we have an audio for that. So, Jean, whenever you're ready.
Yes, ma'am. Now you can just find it. Here it is. Here we go. Through the Eyes of Someone Else by Martha Gettle. What a world this would be if we could see what other people see. If we could look through the eyes of someone else, maybe get a picture of ourselves. If we could feel the pain they feel, understand what to them is real. Yes, what a world this would be if we look through the eyes of someone else and see what they suffer every day, hear the prayers that they pray. If we could open up our hearts, imagine how the healing would start. If we could truly let others in, would we go on the same as we've been? I wonder what a change there would be if we could look through the eyes of someone else and see what they suffer every day, hear the prayers that they pray. If we could open up our hearts, imagine how the healing would start. There's so much pain in the world, you know, and every day it only seems to grow. If we could look through the eyes of someone else, what would we learn about ourselves? See what they suffer every day, hear the prayers that they pray. If we could open up our hearts, imagine how the healing would start. I can't help but wonder, you know, just how the changes would grow. If we could see the world through someone else's eyes, would it make a difference in you and I?
Thank you for that recording, Martha. Very much appreciated. Martha wrote, let me check here. What did Martha write to? All right. She wrote to prompt 15, which I don't remember what it was off the top of my head. But I have to say, I really liked this song. I think it had one of those classic, it was heartfelt messages. As always, really nice rhyme and flow, especially within the chorus. And I like how this reminds us how important it is to be kind, as we don't always know the suffering that someone endures in silence. You know, too often we judge by not knowing, without knowing the full story. And that especially comes through in the line, if we could look through the eyes of someone else, what would we learn about ourselves? And, you know, and then even the line before that, that whole stands right there with, there's not so much pain in the world, you know, and every day it only seems to grow. You don't know what somebody is going through. And when we learn to open our hearts up, as the chorus says, that's the part where healing starts. You know, when we learn to open our hearts up without judgment, then the world can begin to heal. And Jean, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I think that, Martha did a nice job penning this. I was actually going over to find out what prompt 15 was. I'm a little slow, but, you know, I was trying anyway. Prompt 15, oh, what some power the gifty give us to see ourselves as others see us. That was the prompt. So it was a great take on the prompt, for sure. And, I like the chorus of this. See what they suffer every day. Hear the prayers that they pray. If we could open up our hearts, imagine how the healing would start. You know, it's the truth. And when you look at things from someone else's perspective, a lot of change can happen. I mean, you just, it has to, you know. When you look at things from a different point of view, it gives you just a whole different thought process on whatever it is. You know, I don't think it really matters what it is. It's the fact that, you know, you dropped back 10 and you kind of looked at it and went, yeah. You know, maybe I haven't been seeing it quite right all along. So, you know, in that respect, I think she did a great job. Hey, we got Naomi back. Hey, Naomi.
Hey, welcome back, Naomi.
Sorry.
I
had a little emergency. I'm back.
Very cool. And all right, and I'll go ahead and bring us on to the next poem, and that is, let's see here, that is, all right, let's grab that, and all right, up next we have Time and Tide by Cruise Liner, and Jean, will you give that a read for us, please?
Sure. Okay. Time and Tide by Cruise Liner. Free twould stand and try to life impede, vicarious to protest and demand, reversed by prayers and plead. Such is the kiss, there is no halt to starlight skies, and what is gone is ever past, the moon will orbit as she likes. Pull the tide when full and toss man's pride with Maldemar and make him ill, with compass never lie. As upon the clock, the hands will fall and rise. Our performance is but a tick and tock that cannot be bought or by bribe. Minute, hour, and day alike, there is no pause. You cannot halt the chiming strike. The season's turn is felt abroad. Fools and wise men tried and failed to slow the inevitable pale with potions made by quacks for sale, but none can change where God prevails. End poem.
Wonderful, Regine. And Cruise Liner wrote to Time and Tide Waits. Oh, nay man can tether time or tide. And I really thought this was another wonderful rhyming poem, and that I very much enjoyed. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, I love, like, the way he used words in this poem. Like, he put in at the tick-tock of the clock, and then halt the chiming strike, and then he puts in the quacks for sale. So I thought that was really – am I still on?
Yes, you
are.
You're here.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, because yep. I wasn't sure. I thought my phone had went all high wire on me again. So I thought that was brilliant, his play on words throughout. But this is a great write on, you know, how time passes us by without a care in the world. And, you know, how we, you're under its pull there, the time. You have no power. You have no power over it, you know, and it just passes you by. And just a brilliant write all through. Very powerful write, so bravo.
Oh, I have to agree. I really liked how their take on the prompt. I thought there was a strong write all the way through, but especially a strong ending with that stanza, fools and wise men tried and failed to slow the inevitable tale with potions made by quacks for sale, but none can change where God prevails. You know, and so oftentimes, you know, we look for that magic fountain of youth, or we look for the ability to travel back in time in order so that we can be conquerors of time, because it is something. You know, we always talk about people fearing death. So oftentimes what it is they fear the passing of time, because the passing of time is what leads to death. I really like with the mention of with the second sentence, such as the cast, there's no halt of starlight skies, and what is gone is ever past. The moon will orbit as she likes. There's such a strong idea that, you know, time and nature goes on, you know, and there's nothing we can do to stop it. We always want to have a sense of control, but we never have as much as we think we should, or we do, that we think we do. So just an excellent write and very well done. And Jean, you read that wonderfully. Your thoughts?
Thanks. Well, I think this was an excellent reflection of the prompt. I mean, the prompt, I mean, what he really pointed out here is two things, two sure things that cannot be tamed, and that is the time and the tide. And I think that he put it out there exactly the way that suited it, suited the quote best. I mean, you know, it was good imagery. It was very, what's the word I want? It was a strong, there were strong points that were made throughout. And I just think he really did an excellent job. So excellent job, Cruise Liner.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, I have to agree. Well said there. All right, and up next we have Throw Off the Cloak of Suspicion by Truth Chills. And Naomi, would you give that a read for us, please?
Okay, Throw Off the Cloak of Suspicion. A life that is consumed by what others may or may not be doing, always adding things to what you say and calling it reading between the lines, plotting senseless, hurtful things against what they themselves are assuming, ill at ease around everybody, always wondering, are they talking about me? There is no winning them over. They're too focused on what's over their shoulder, perceiving danger in the safest situation, letting anxiety work them up to a state of intense exaggeration. Some who suffer this are called a paranoid schizophrenic, medically dubbed and constantly drugged. Then there are those who build their minds into a suspicious frenzy induced by the others, by what others have done, and applies that to everybody. Negativity clouds their ability to think clearly and listen to reason. So consumed with fear and worry, they pass up great opportunities. Such great potential loss, caught up in fantastical flurries, unable to get help because to them everyone is untrustworthy. They long for love and friendships, ending up in horrible controlling relationships. They can become addicted to the need to be afflicted, mind, body, and soul, because what they can't do on their own, they relinquish to the one they give control. They turn all of their suspicions into realities, allowing terrible, unspeakable things, because it's easier to live in nightmares than to dare to dream good things. How does one end up this way? It begins with offenses that have occurred, something that really hurt, could be big or small, once or twice, depends on the strength of one's own mind. Anger, frustration, and hate all contribute to their unforgiving state of mind. At this point, which way they go in life depends on the people in their inner circle. Healing comes from love and patience. If that's not present, the depths of degradation can go beyond imagination. The moral of the story is things will happen in life. That's a certainty. Do not let what others do take root. Guard your heart and mind and practice forgiveness. Train your mind to think positive thoughts. These things will keep suspicion at bay. The rest you learn day by day. Choose to put on goodness and throw off the heavy cloak of suspicion. End poem.
Great read, Naomi. And Truth Chills wrote to prompt 5, which was, suspicion is a heavy armor, and with its weight it impedes more than it protects. I have to say, it's good to see Truth Chills. I haven't seen her writing in a contest for a while. And she's got a wonderful, straightforward style. And I like how there's almost like a flow of consciousness, but it's a flow of consciousness that stays on one topic. And it's interesting to me how within this rite she gives us many of the different reasons that a person's mind becomes suspicious, such as mentioning that oftentimes, people have a medical condition, such as paranoid schizophrenia, or other times because of the way they're treated in past relationships, they can develop a suspicious mind. And I like how at the end she touches upon the process of healing from being hurt, from the reasons that, you became suspicious. And there's definitely some food for thought within these lines and that I really appreciate, and very well done. And Naomi, you read that wonderfully. Your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, it's that inner self, it's so powerful. It can weigh you down and keep you a prisoner, whether it's a medical condition like she talks about, or whether it's our past or lack of support system in place, and we go through hateful things in life, traumatizing things, and we have a hard time trusting other people, and we get suspicious about everything and everyone, and have a hard time letting people in. And so her message is so important. And let us go lighter and wiser into the world with forgiveness and acceptance, I think is what she's saying in the end there. A most deep and insightful, powerful message here. So bravo, truth chills. And, there's so much truth in it. Her name goes along well with this poem. There's so much truth inside of it.
Absolutely.
Great light.
Absolutely. Well said there. And Jean, your thoughts?
Well, I have to say that my eyes were deceiving me because I went over, and for some reason I thought it was prompt 6, which is dare to be honest and fear no labor. And I'm reading this, and I'm going, dare to be honest, I'm going, that's pretty good, So it made me laugh when you read the quote, and I'm going, wait a minute, that isn't what I read. So I had to laugh at that. But I thought it was a very well done piece. Truth has a way of just kind of telling it like it is. When she has something to say, she has no problem saying it whatsoever. That goes from the first poem I ever heard of hers. She's very direct and very straightforward about it. And I thought it was very nicely penned, and I thought she did a great job, just really, nice work. So thanks, Truth, for sharing with us. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well said there.
Yeah.
And up next, we have The False Man by Kay Heartless, and it goes like this. Nay, man can tether time or tie that noose around his neck is dyed. Oh, his faults we find first pride, rising first before it fell. The moon's a lasso to them all. Hug him close before the swell, whilst man is left to float and talk. Cling tight to today's cuckoo clock, hope his bout done roll or rock. Nay, man can tether time or tide to many swells for one bound to ride, and pain to deep and power to wide, a path he made now nags and sink. The hour that blew like winds stink, and opaque waters turn black as ink. Years spent anchored off to shore have left him lodged gainst cant floor, bilging seconds and begging for more. Nay, man can tether time or tide. The aviator up in heaven ride, a mouthful and he's gone and died. End poem. Well, I have to say that was beautifully written, but I really wish Kay had made an audio because I feel like I sounded like a pirate. Because I'm just not used to reading the dialect. But I think that was absolutely just beautifully written. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought he did a wonderful job of using that old dialect throughout there. You know, he answered back to me that he really enjoyed penning this poem. And I just should have tried it because it would have been fun, you know. But this is a, you know, it's such a wonderfully composed and rich piece. Also a time that does pass by. Like a fleeting whisper that we cannot grasp and hold on forever, I think, you know. The hour that blew like winds stink, years spent anchored off the shore, have left him lodged against can I floor. Belgian seconds and begging for more. So he knows he's going to die in the end there. And, he can't grasp that time that tic-tacs away, I guess. And, you know, no time. Just runs
right.
out of time. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So great, right?
Yeah, I have to agree. What I really liked in this is that there was a kind of bits of an extended metaphor with constant references to the ocean, to a boat, you know, with the left to float and talk, the mention of the swell, the waves. And so I thought that fit really well in with the whole thought of the prompt, nay, man can tether time or tide. And I like that he refers to, Kay, she refers to to God as the aviator up in heaven lied. And I guess that could be a duality, like it could be actually an aviator, a flyer, somebody who flies, but I also see it as a reference, you know, to an angel, a higher power, a God, I really liked this all the way through, but I also really liked whilst man is left to float and talk, cling tight to today's cuckoo clock, and I thought a cuckoo clock was a really great choice because they're just that bird always seems to pop out unexpectedly. Even though you know it's going to pop out every hour, it just, you know, it's kind of like life just is throwing that cuckoo clock type surprise out to you. So really an excellent write and very well done. And Jean, your thoughts?
Well, I liked it. I liked it. I think that Kay did a great job. I don't like doing Kay because Kay Hartley seems so long. I thought it was very well penned, and I enjoyed her use of the dialect as well because, you know, it's always intriguing when you see it written down. And I used to work with a fellow from Scotland, and he had this brogue that was just wonderful. Actually, I worked with two fellows. One was from Ireland, one was from Scotland. So it was always enjoyable. And the page to 32, it was always kind of comical. But, yeah, so, I mean, I thought that she did an excellent job and a great take on that prompt, you know, all the way through. And, yeah, that last three lines, I agree with you, Pam. It was kind of like, you know, the reference. Is it, you know, it seems like the aviator up in heaven lied. It seems like, you know, talking about God, a mouthful, and he's gone and died. I don't know. You know, maybe I'm crazy. I don't know, but it seems quite a unique ending there, and I thought it tied it up nice. It was good stuff. Good stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. I have to agree. And it's fun and interesting when a line within a poem can have multiple meanings.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And yep. And up next we have Tess Saturnity by R.G. Kamal and Jean. Will you give that a read for us, please?
You want me to say Tess Saturnity? I might not get it right again, but I like this one. Tess Saturnity. Sometimes much is said without opening one's mouth. The expression speaks louder than words. End poem. The title is longer than the poem.
You took the words right out of my mouth. That's exactly what I was going to say, was that the title is longer than the poem. I thought this was just a wonderful brevity. I mean, so much said in just a few words. I like how it speaks on, you know, on the idea that, you know, the truth within is often revealed through the expression on the face. So I thought very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, this makes me think of my four grandchildren, because I think children with their expressions, you know,
oh my goodness.
You know, before they can talk, they know what they're, you know, what's going on in their mind, you know. You know, especially when you're trying to feed them new foods for the first time, you know. But this poem, you know, that makes me just think of the kids, you know, children with their expressions and the innocence that's there, you know, you're right, Pam, with the facial expressions. Sometimes it even speaks louder, like he says, louder than words. So well said in this short poem here. It's just a brilliant write here.
Absolutely. And, for sure. The RG really always does a nice job with what I would call mega brevities. I don't know if that's a technical term, but, you know, it seems to be a gift of his and very much appreciated. All right, and that was the last of our carryovers, and we will now proceed on to the main topic for the night. And, obviously since we're three ladies' voices, anybody who has a guy voice written poem will just, you know, have to imagine. So.
None of this. I guess they're busy.
They must be. You know what? They're having a guy get together. They're having a romance.
They're celebrating Burns Night tonight.
Right. They're celebrating their bro-hood.
yeah.
All right.
Oh, well.
Up next we have Love Conquers All by Lit. And Naomi, would you give that a read for us, please?
Yes. Love Conquers All. Amor vincit omnia. He kept on screaming these words, Amor vincit omnia. I didn't understand it. What does it mean? His look caught my attention as hope exudes from him. Amor vincit omnia. I couldn't wait any longer. My curiosity was at its peak. Love conquers all, he screamed, and fell to the ground. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Naomi. And I'm not 100% sure that I'm pronouncing Lit's name right, but that's sometimes I have to go by what it seems like. So, but he is new to writing to our shows or contests, and so I have to say it's always good to see new names, you know, new people, new poets. I liked this brevity here. It told a story that worked well on like a mythological story type level, but it also worked well on a metaphorical level. Like if you see the man shouting the phrase "Amor vincit omnia," obviously, which means love conquers all, you know, as a metaphor for perhaps for, you know, everything in the world, or perhaps, you know, whatever you could, you know, like if love, if we think of love conquering all bad things, if you saw the man that fell down to the ground at the end as a metaphor for angry, the hurt within the world. But I like the repetitiveness in this, as I thought it really grabbed and kept your attention. And I like how there's that sense of humanity. Like, I think we all have our moments where we don't understand something, and we keep asking people to repeat themselves in hopes that we'll understand. And not with hearing, but, you know, like with the whole idea of we're just not quite getting a concept in of what somebody means when they say something, like what it means to them. And I thought it was very human in nature. And my curiosity was at its peak because, you know, I mean, it's just such, it's something ingrained in every single one of us. You know, it's why we have stories like in ancient Greece about, you know, who was it that opened the box with all the world's troubles?
Pandora.
Pandora, yes, thank you. Pandora. Thank you. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, exactly, Pandora. And so, you know, it's why we have stories like that, because it is part of our nature to be curious. And so just an excellent write, very well done. And Naomi, you read that wonderfully. Your thoughts?
Oh, I agree. It leaves you wondering, like, what's going on, you know? You're at the side of you're just at the end of each word here, hanging on, just wondering why this guy is screaming. And, you know, and the interpretation that it leaves after, like, you can take this in any way, you know. Did he commit suicide because of love? Is it a sarcastic way of saying love doesn't conquer all because he falls to the ground in the end? You know, you can interpret this in so many ways. I mean, you know, it just leaves, it's like a first paragraph of a book here. You want to know what happens next. So just a great, great, great little ride here, Lit. Just enjoyed it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. Yeah. And I like the thought that you brought up, Naomi, about the whole idea, you know, is it that sarcastic tone or is it possibly, you know, the idea of someone, you know, committing suicide because of lost love, because of heartbreak. So well said there. And Jean, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I thought it was a great brevity. I really did. Wait a minute. Let me take a breath. Give me a second. Make sure I'm at least on the right page here. Yes. We're still on Love Conquers All, correct? Yes. Got scared. I thought I was on the wrong phone. I think it was a wonderful brevity. I think that it was very well expressed. You know, I found it interesting, kind of as like Naomi mentioned, you know, in the end when he falls to the ground, was kind of like, wow, why was that? I'm not exactly sure what the thought of that was or behind that was. But apparently, you know, love conquered him. I mean, that's the only thing I can figure or put to it. But definitely an interesting piece, but a nice take on the prompt. And I thought it was straight and to the point, very direct in, you know, the fact that he was yelling out and, you know, what was happening in the poem itself. So, nice job, Light. Well done.
I like that. I like how you mentioned that, you know, the possibility that you thought of for that end line was that love conquered him, which... I like that there's multiple ways that that line could be taken. So definitely very well
right.
done there. And let's see what we got next.
Absolutely.
Yep, for sure. For sure. All right. The next poem I'm going to do by C.L. Howard. And... I'll go ahead and give this one a read, and it goes like this. There is a moment when everything is still, when both the pains and joys of life are numbed, and the very memory of you is shadow. The sounds of life are muted, except the well-placed shill, who doesn't seem to understand that some hurts are unplumbed, or that all hope of happiness is beset by vertical, and I can't see you. But every moment is just that, and it's passing like a wind. Pain returns in earnest, like a razor slicing skin. It releases all that darkens, revealing scenes of you, and the unmuted voices, both family and friend, try to repaint wounds that will always live within my picture frame, unbalanced by its ever-altered view. Yet everywhere I look, I see you. I see you. End poem. And I have to thank CL for sharing that with us. He was actually inspired to share it with us because of the title of the contest, which was translated as Let Your Truth Be Known. And I have to thank him for this because I know that, as many of us know, he lost his, as he puts in his AN, his 20-something-year-old son on December 24th. And this is actually the first poem that he posted since his son died. And so, my heart truly goes out to him and his family. I know I've said it multiple times to him, but, you know, love, hugs, and prayers and good energy to all of them. Even though I know that doesn't do much, like I said, when somebody can share, the beauty in this is that it's the first poem he's written, and it's part of his healing process and his I don't really want to say healing process, because, you know, you can only heal so much from such a loss. And, you know, and but I truly can't fully understand this kind of loss, though I do know what it is like to lose someone and to some days feel like you constantly see them, and for some days, like, feeling like you can't see them. And also feeling that too often times people want to repaint your wounds. People want to use cliches or platitudes to make you feel better, and it really doesn't in the end. So as I said, you know, just really appreciative of this rite. And oh my goodness, I'm bringing tears. I'm getting tears. So I'm sorry. Jean, your thoughts?
No problem. I thought this was a wonderful piece by CL. I give him a lot of credit on this. The first three lines on this, there's a moment when everything is still, when both the pains and joys of life are numbed, and the very memory of you is shadow. You know, that awesome first three lines to draw you into the unknown of the poem yet to come. And I thought that was excellent. The next three lines are just as wonderful. But then it says, and I can't see you. But every moment is just that, and it's passing like a wind. Pain returns in earnest like a razor slicing skin. It releases all that darkness, revealing scenes of you. It's like, you know, sometimes you don't see, other times you do see. Sometimes things fade out of, he uses here my picture frame. Sometimes things do fade out of frame in general, not, you know, picture frame. But they fade out of the frame, and then they come back, and they sneak up on you in different places. That's what I've experienced. That's, you know, the best I can kind of express what I'm trying to say. But I think this is just a very well-written piece. And I think you really expressed his emotions well in here. So excellent work, CL, and thank you so much for sharing tonight. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. I have to, you said that really well there, Jean. I have to agree with you that, like you said, from your own experience, you know, that oftentimes it fades, the seeing them fades out of the frame and then goes back in. And I'm glad you brought up those first three lines, because they particularly are a really just beautiful and strong opening. So very well said there. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a hard-hitting poem, you know, when you read the AN. And it's sad that he, you know, you just have to sit back and, like, and just appreciate it and take in and try and appreciate, you know, his you can't put yourself in his place. You can't, you know, feel for him, because I haven't went through this, but I can just take in his words and appreciate his poem, you know, and appreciate that he's putting himself out there and he's writing to try and get through it a bit, you know, and, you know, just take in that, like he says in his AM, but it's all I have in me right now. So, yeah, it is, you know, heart-wrenching. And, but, you know, just such thank you for this poem. And, yeah, just thank you.
Absolutely. Well said there, Naomi. All right. And up next, I'm going to go ahead and put your poem, Naomi, of Wine and Men. And I know you have a recording for us. So, Jean, whenever you're ready.
You got it. Here we go.
Of wine and man, I taste my man as a savored wine. So much truth lies hidden within each flavor left lingering upon my palate. See, he's a Pinot Gris, refreshing and crisp, a delicate citrus mix with white floral notes, light, easy drinking, just perfect to enjoy on a hot summer's morning. Now him, a muscadet, more bruised than oxidized, an apple character, but relatively bitter. Yes, still so green, could do with some more time to mature. Oh, an Alvarino from Spain, he produced such a wonderful, full, aromatic experience. His bouquet rich and fruity, so I knew I could expect a refreshing, tasty adventure. And my Sauvignon Blanc, aggressively citrus driven, grapefruit pith, exotic fruits, honeydew kiwi, grassy mint with savory green pepper hints, just left my lips salivating in anticipation of another sip. But most of all, I'll toast to my full-bodied Carabaranais Sauvignon. Bold tannins, long persistent finish, black cherry, black currant, spices, intense smokiness of cedar and oak, silky smoothness leaves the mouth watering, begging for more arousal, just the one to swirl and savor in front of a blazing fireplace on cold evenings and keep you all warm and cozy through the long wintry nights.
Wonderful reading right there, Naomi. Say ooh la la. I like the background picture you have there with the bottles of wine with men on it. You know, as you were reading this, besides the fact that I was thinking that it was a wonderful read and just clever imagery, I was also thinking about the fact that we had that show where we were talking about how there's so many steps, like 7 or 9 steps to wine tasting.
Yeah, well, some say 5, some say 7, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. And I was just thinking to myself, I wonder how many steps there are to man tasting.
It depends on the man.
Well, there you go. Oh, my God. But I have to say, I thought this was just really intelligent sensuality with a wonderful idea of using metaphor, wine and it's as metaphors for the different types of men out there. You know, I really like how you delved into those notes, those like the citrus mix, the floral notes, the and then the aromatic experience, and you know, aggressively citrus driven grapefruit pith, exotic fruits. I thought that one there had to be probably one of my absolute favorites. You know, and there were just so many good wine. Now, see, after this poem, I am now in the mood for wine. So, this would have been a good night to pick up some wine and enjoy. So I do have some in my refrigerator, so I'm going to have to enjoy that at some point. So, yes.
We know our wine here in French Quebec. Hey boy, we're big wine drinkers.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I tend to usually be more of a red wine drinker, like Merlot or something similar to that. Though I don't claim to be anywhere near, like I can't say I know my wine. I just know what I like. But yeah, this is just beautifully written and a great take on your chosen prompt. Very well done. And
thank you.
And Jean, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. Here we go again. She wants thoughts again. I don't know.
I know.
I really loved it. I really did. I loved it. I loved how you compared men to the wine and the wine to the men and how it works out, you know, and, you know, your ending stanza was perfect because, you know, you brought it full circle to what works for you. And I just think it was really, really a great job. I loved it. Great take on the prompt. You know, nice, nice stuff.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Phil. And I recognize the title, too. I took it from the book of John Steinbeck there of Mice and Men because it was a story during the Great Depression in California, and California makes good wine. And so I just changed the mice for the wine.
Yep. We have wineries here up in this area, but they tend to be like, because we're not an area that grows grapes.
Why not?
We tend to have wine, we have wineries that do like cranberry wine, blueberry wine, apple wine, you know, the stuff that's around here.
Yeah, the iced apple, did you ever taste that, iced apple wine? Oh, it's so good.
Oh, it sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really good. We make that here too. But we have a few places here that the vignobles there. What is that? The vignobles here in Quebec. So we make a bit of wine here. But my favorite is Italian. Though if wine from Italy, there I just love wine from Italy.
One
of my favorites.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And and up next we have Pluck the Day by Diane D, and we have a SoundCloud for that. So Jean, whenever you're ready.
Okay. Here we go.
Carpe Diem, Pluck the Day by Diane D. Seize the moment. Seize the day. Live every moment like it's your last. Don't walk the roads of the future. Don't live in the streets of your past. What happened back then is over. It's a journey you can never retake. It will never remake this moment, and it cannot undo that mistake. The sooner you let go of yesterday, the days that won't let you move on. Don't let them rent space in your head. Those ghosts from the past are gone. But if you continually live in the future, borrowing worry on whatever may be, you are just stealing from your today, because the future you can never see. Just when you think you have it figured, Things happen in the blink of an eye. There is nothing you can do to prepare. Things change with the passing of time. Time, death, and what tomorrow brings are some things you can never control. The past is something you have to let go, and the future is another black hole. Now the moment you wake in the morning, make that moment your only concern. The future is unknown, the past is the past, and a place where you can never return. End poem.
Wonderful read and write there, Diane. Thank you for the SoundCloud. Very much appreciated. And just a reminder, everyone, if you're unable to call in, then the next best thing is to make a recording of your poem, because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. And Naomi, your thoughts on Diane's poem.
Oh, yeah, I just love this. It's powerful with truth all throughout. And I just love the line that she came up with. The stanza is, the sooner you let go of yesterday's, the days that won't let you move on, don't let them rent space in your head. Those ghosts from the past are gone. So just the idea of the ghost renting that space in your head, like a room, that's a great, great play of words there. Just a great metaphor, rent space in your head. I just love that stanza stuck out from me. But, throughout this poem, and her read too is fantastic. But, I mean, she talks so such a wisdom in this poem, and it's so true, you know. Just look towards the future and don't dwell on those past things, those past mistakes and those all that lingers there, the darkness that lingers in the past, because, you know, you don't have the time, you know, you're wasting your time doing that. So just look on and go into the future. So bravo, Diane, on this piece. It's just a wonderful, wonderful written piece of work. Thank you so much for sharing it.
Absolutely. I have to agree, there are some really wonderful words of wisdom within this poem. And I do like that she touches on the whole idea, as you mentioned, of, you know, don't dwell in your yesterdays, but at the same time, don't continually live in the future. You know, don't be constantly worrying about what's already gone, and don't be constantly worrying about what hasn't happened yet. And I really like this all the way through, but particularly the third to last stanza with, just when you think you have it figured, things happen in the blink of an eye. There's nothing you can do to prepare. Things change with the passing of time. You know, like we can take lessons from life, but sometimes curveballs get thrown to us. So really just a wonderful write and very well done. And Jean, your thoughts?
I think that Diane did a great job with this. I really enjoyed her intro stanza for the whole piece, because right there she captured the prompts and led everyone right where she wanted them to go. You know, seize the moment, seize the day, live every moment like it's your last. Don't walk the roads of the future. Don't live in the streets of your past. I love that. I think that's a great stanza, really well done. And I think that the whole piece just followed suit with it beautifully. And I think that the last stanza tied it up nice. So great job, Diane, and thanks a lot for sharing with us tonight. Wow.
Oh, absolutely. I have to agree with you that end stanza tie it all up really nice. And all right. And up next we have Vino Veritas by Rich F. And we have a SoundCloud for that. So whenever you're ready, Phil.
Here we go.
Hey, hey, Bacchus. Bring us bottled joy. Thy vino veritas to free the soul. My hidden depths thou aids me to deploy. My truth will out, will fly beyond control. And as my spirit struts a merry dance, my rational being stumbles in a trance. Hey, hey, Bacchus, I no longer care to tell my story, heck, with all the rest. My tortured spirit I will now lay bare, an open book, and I will pass the test. I throw my words like trash into the sky. The vultures circle, and I wonder why. Hey, hey, Pliny, how I loathe you now. Your pompous proverb, aqua sanitas. The honest labour, farmhand in the plough. My thoughts now slurred. Where lies my veritas? My staggered soul delays sobriety. Tonight pure joy and impropriety. Hey, hey, Pliny, how I loathe you now. Your pompous proverb, aqua sanitas. The honest labour, farmhand and the plough. My thoughts now slurred, where lies my veritas? My staggered soul delays sobriety. Tonight, pure joy and impropriety.
Wonderful read and write there, Rich. Thank you for the SoundCloud. Very much appreciated. I always enjoy how Rich adds his own guitar playing to his reading. And I have to agree with Robbie on Ellen. He mentions that the way his singing is or his reading has an interesting quality, being something between spoken word and musical singing, which makes just beautiful and to me and unique. So very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, I really enjoyed this, and especially the hey hey. You know, the way he says, hey, hey, at the beginning of every stand is like, hey, hey, you know, bring us a bottle of joy. And then I'll, you know, I'll tell you all my truths and everything. And then he's in the, like, drunkard stage there. Hey, hey, I'm going to tell you it all. And then, hey, hey, oh, what did I do, you know? And, you know, as he staggers around, you know, and his soul delays sobriety, tonight's pure joy and impropriety. And, you know, I love the lines, I throw my words like trash into the sky, the vultures circle, and I wonder why. Yeah, I think he's telling a bit too many truths there, you know. I just enjoyed. This was delightful, this little writer. Bravo, Rich F.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what I really like is you could tell that Rich F. either already knew this or did his reading of the article, because if you look at the article where it mentions the phrase in vino veritas, which, as I mentioned, was the one that most people wrote to, it says, you know, the classic thing to say when you've had too much to drink and have just said something that is decidedly not classy. In vino veritas has been employed as a mea culpa of sorts for thousands of years. In the first century A.D., Pliny the Elder referred to the common proverb that in wine there is truth, in vino veritas. So I like that he mentions Pliny's the Elder's name in the rite. And you're right, it's really clever the way he keeps having the hey, hey, Bacchus. Now, Bacchus, I believe, being the god of wine. And there was another, you know, like, it's interesting because I wish I could remember names better, but there was a philosopher who was really well known for being drunk all the time. Like, he would actually just, like, show up and be rude, and he would purposely sleep in a box because he didn't want to spend money, like, in a home, and that's what it makes me think of. But what I really like is there's this whole idea of the, you know, he's captured the personality of a drunk staggering and the kind of rambunctious language in that, hey, hey, Bacchus, you know, I no longer care. I really like this all the way through, but especially those, and this line here, my tortured spirit, I will now lay bare an open book and I will pass the test. And the end line, my staggered soul delays sobriety, tonight pure joy and impropriety. It's like that whole idea of, it even has a little bit in those end lines of that idea of just living carpe diem, living in the moment, as well as the chosen prompt. So just an excellent write and very well done. And Jean, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I think Rich did a great job with this. I really did. My comment to him was, you know, I thought it was nicely penned. I said three great stanzas. Steady progression on one as one wanders through a bottle or two. Well done. Because it starts out, you know, hey, hey, Bacchus, bring us bottled joy. And then it's, hey, hey, Bacchus, I no longer care. And then it's, hey, hey, Pliny, how I loathe you now. You know, it's that steady progression of getting drunk. You know, it starts out all fine and dandy and, you know, and each stanza just kind of ups the ante a little bit more. So that's the way I viewed it. A clever piece, very well done, very well read. I, you know, I do enjoy his SoundClouds. He always has a different feel about them. You know, it's not like everybody else's. And, you know, I think that's wonderful. But definitely well done piece and enjoyable. So thanks,
absolutely,
Rich.
Absolutely. I have to agree. All right, going to grab the next poem. And I like that Jean, that you mentioned how it had that steady progression. That was a really, I like that you pointed that out. All right. And up next, we have I Toast by Poetic Picasso, and we have a recording for that. So, Jean, whenever you're ready.
Sure.
All right.
I toast to the mere essence of the taste of a fine Spanish wine, fermented from the succulent grapes that remain in my taste buds, enjoying the fresh scent of the true celestial sea I breathe intoxicating me as I listen to the orchestra sound of the swashing tides receding in the shore. I indulge myself in a delicious slice of cheese with some sugar plums nearby the wet bricks of the wall of my quaint patio outside of crisp leaves, observing the green grass sheltering the passage to the rolling gentle hills, yearning for a wrapped candied crunch of dark chocolate dipped in rum. My thirst is quenched by the aphrodisiac drops of exquisite wine, in my hunger with the ambrosial banquet of local Spanish food, enjoying the sensational view of the natural beauty of the countryside, whilst my watery mouth is soaked with plenty of juicy, edible grapes. I sigh with the deep thought of reminiscing the old memories where I used to visit this place with the fondest affection, in those precious moments captured by the click of a camera, the desserts of fruits and yogurts that I ate were enough to return. End of poem.
Wonderful read and write there, Frank. Thank you for the recording. Very much appreciated. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yes, everything in this poem. You just want to move this thing. Yeah, I'm moving there tomorrow. Like the grapes. He has the cheese in here. You know, he has the landscapes. And you know that the chocolate, you eat chocolate because the chocolate brings out the savor in the wine. It brings out the hints, it brings out the flavors, the hidden flavors inside the wine. That's why you eat, you know, chocolate with wine. And he has the fruit in here too. And, you know, when I think of fruit, I always think of strawberries and wine. But other fruits too. But I mean, he just, you know, his imagery throughout this is just awakes all your senses there and just leaves your mouth watering for a drink of Spanish wine and being sitting right there on that terrace there, you know, somewhere in Spain. So just wow, Frank, this is just an amazing. Right, and I toast to it. I toast to it. I toast to you. I toast to Spain. Just amazing.
Absolutely, and I do have to agree. There's a lot of just delicious food and drink mentioned in here, I love the dark chocolate. I would definitely try dark chocolate dipped in rum. I mentioned that this definitely made me hungry and thirsty. I like imagery throughout it, but to me it was more than just imagery. Like I like, especially in that end stanza where he says, sigh with the deep thought of reminiscence to visit this place with the fondest affection. You know, there are certain places that we either are live in or we visit that really speak to our soul. And I feel like this rite is about that place that speaks to his soul. And so just absolutely beautiful write, and definitely some very yummy stuff there. Very well done. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I think Frank did a great job with this. It was very well written. Excuse me, very, sorry about that. I thought it was well written and nice imagery and wonderful expression of thoughts throughout. I love all the different, flavors he brought into to play throughout the piece. Just definitely wonderful wording and phrasing throughout. Nice work, Frank, and great audio, as always.
Absolutely. Really great comment there. All right, and up next we have Oxygen by Casey Day. And Naomi, would you give that a read for us, please?
Yes, just getting there. I was letting my cat outside. Oxygen by Casey Day. Flowers miss the sun when they're buried in snow. I miss you whenever you go. Sometimes I'm wrong about things I thought I knew. Sometimes I'm strong for so long. I forget how much I need you. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Naomi, and what a beautiful brevity by Casey, who, by the way, it's her birthday today, so I'd like to give a shout-out and say happy birthday to Casey. I hope you have a wonderful, fun, and blessed day. And I like this one-word title. Like, to me, the title alone works well as a metaphor, the whole idea of not being able to breathe and needing someone who's strong, the seeking what the sustenance that they are. Really just a wonderful emotive brevity that it's difficult to separate any lines because they all connect one to the other beautifully. But my favorite are sometimes I'm wrong about things I thought I knew. I think it takes a strong person to admit that they can be wrong. And then, also I forget how much I need you. And it's such a wonderful feeling when you realize how much you need somebody and that for you. So just a beautiful, heartfelt brevity and very well done. And Amy, you read that beautifully. Your thoughts?
Yeah, this is, from the starting line, flowers miss the sun when they're buried in snow, as much as she misses him, or the person that she's talking about in this poem. And, sometimes I'm strong for so long, I forget how much I need you. Sometimes we would like to be strong on our own, or think we're strong on our own. And we forget just how much we need that other person. So this is, for 5 lines. And she expresses such deep emotion in this poem and such deep, deep thoughts and deep meaning. And it's so powerful. It just in these few lines here. So bravo, Casey. This is just brilliant writing right here. And happy birthday to you, too. Want to wish you that. Bona fide from Naomi. So just a brilliant write.
There you go. And and Jean, your thoughts?
Well, I thought it was a great brevity. And it was very touching. And I thought it was a great take on the prompt as well. Now I can't remember what the prompt said. But... if you need this, oh, never mind. I'm not even going to try because I'll just screw it up. But I thought it was a very well done piece to the prompt. And I thought that was pretty cool. Because at first I'm like, what does this line up with? You know, I'm still in the last contest. Sorry, I'm in the carryovers. I'm like, wait. I went to look, and I'm like, what is this? What are these? What is this? So I had myself all turned around. But I had to laugh. I was like, well, okay. But I really did. I thought it was a great job. And happy birthday, Casey, and many more. Many more. That's
mm-hmm.
the way I look at that. So great work.
Absolutely. Great comments. All right, up next.
Oh, I was just going to say how beautiful she was, too. Casey, isn't she a beautiful girl?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yes. And up next we have In Vino Veritas by Gerald E. Green. And we have a recording for that. So, Jean, whenever you're ready.
Yes, ma'am. Here we go.
In Vino Veritas, written and read by Gerald Green. Last night, I went too far. Or was it she that did it? My wine released the clasp and let the stallion run there. I looked inside the veil where expectation lives, examined secrets one should shun, polluting thought and clarity that there is. Impulsive claims upon integrity, claims awaiting future's call. Laughter's train moved swiftly through the night to show the merry there is truth. And so, fresh memories speak, will not be silenced, not be hushed, revealing with relentless force. Won't let the night remain in darkness, where there is truth in. But now when silence stands before and actions draw their swords, I bend in supplication, letting tears reveal what must be said. There is truth in wine.
Wonderful read there, Gerald. Thank you for the recording. Very much appreciated. I have to say, I thought that was just a powerful and thoughtful write. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Well, first of all, his reading voice, oh my gracious, wow, like that. I just love his reading voice. You know, it's a beautiful voice. Yeah, I love so many lines in this. Laughter's train moved swiftly through night to show the merry there is truth. And, you know, the idea of that train moving swiftly, you know, when the wine comes in, and so fresh memories speak, will not be silenced, not be hushed. I love how this flows. And, you know, just a very, very elegant and well-written, composed write here. Just an awesome, awesome write.
Absolutely, I have to agree. I really like how he separated the couplets by the progression of there is. You know, there is truth, how, you know, I kept building that up. I also felt like there was some humor in this, like with how, like, he personifies the wine or uses
mm-hmm.
the wine as a metaphor for a woman or a woman for a metaphor for the wine. And he says, you know, in the beginning, last night I went too far, or was it she that did it? My wine released the clasp and let the stallion out. I mean, oh my goodness, how many men and women too think we're just absolute stallions once we've had enough alcohol in us? You know, and so I really thought that was very clever. I also liked laughter's train moved swiftly through night to show the merry. And so fresh memories speak, will not be silenced, not be hushed. You know, so oftentimes, you know, we become our most flamboyant, our most laugh at ourselves and, you know, at life in general, and really our most talkative when the tongue is loosed by a couple of glasses of wine or more or less, depending on who you are. But, yeah, I thought this was just a really great take on the prompt, a clever write, another one that really went through that slow progression. And like I said, I just thought it had a wonderful balance with the humor in it. And so definitely very well done. And, all right, I'm going to go ahead and put the next poem up. And it is Let the Buyer Beware by Martha Gettle. And since I know Jean had to step away, I will go ahead and...
Let the Buyer Beware. Let the Buyer Beware by Martha Gettle. Let the buyer beware, that's what I heard said. But I let you go straight to my head. When I met you, I fell so fast and so hard. There was no way I could hold on to my heart. My friend said, look out, he's got a bad reputation. But I just knew I was going to be the exception. I knew you loved me just like I love you. But it turned out I was playing the fool. Let the buyer beware, why didn't I heed? I got all caught up in my need. I just knew for me you were the one. But you left me alone when it was done. I fell so happily into your trap. I never once stopped to look back. I swallowed every excuse you told me, just as long as you were there to hold me. Let the buyer beware, why didn't I heed? I got all caught up in my need. I just knew for me you were the one, but you left me alone. When it was done, now you are gone. I have come to realize that all you ever did was tell me lies. But I know that my heart will heal, and I'll go on to find a love that's real.
Wonderful reading right there, Martha. Thank you for the recording. It is very much appreciated. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I think you could take the buyer as a metaphor. It's probably let the buyer beware. That's what I heard said. But I let you go straight to my head. When I met you, I fell so fast and so hard. There was no way I could hold on to my heart. So is she buying maybe, what I thought right away when I read this was she was buying wine. Wine was going to her head she just ended up with a bunch of lies, you know. But, you know, you can take it as that way, as a metaphor, the whole thing. Or you can take it just as, you know, she met somebody who had a bad reputation. And, you know, she's just a bad love affair that went on. But I like my metaphor take on it. But anyway,
it's
a great rhyming poem here, Martha. I just enjoyed it. Very well written. And it made me think. So that's always great about a write, when it makes you try to interpret, you can interpret it in different ways. So, and put your own twist on it. So great, great, great work, Martha. Another great song.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I liked how this could work as a metaphor or as an idea of being warned about somebody that, you know, you think you're falling in love with, or you're beginning to idolize, and friends are like, hey, you know, that's, you know, you really aren't seeing them for who they are. You know, I thought this had a wonderful chorus. I also really liked, you know, where it said, my friend said, look out, he's got a bad reputation, but I just knew I was going to be the exception. You know, and so many things, whether it's overindulgence or, you know, a relationship with somebody that's, you know, perhaps not a good person, we always think, you know, that we are going to be the exception. So very well done there, Martha. All right, I'm going to have us fit in one last poem for the night, and the rest will be carryovers. I'm not sure to where, but I will let people know when I know. And up next we have Democracy Calls by S. Sharp. Here I find thee at the feet of beauty, but saying your prayers to the tyrant that commands your love, proclaims his for you, but sends armies of innocents, you among them, God willing, of course, to scale the walls, to tear down that which you say you are defending. Ending, sic semper tyrannis, said one American woodsman, I may not see the tree through the forest, but when I do, I will cut it down. Sic semper tyrannis, end poem. And S. Sharp wrote, obviously, to the Latin phrase, sic semper tyrannis, which means thus always to tyrants. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Well, the first thing I thought of this is when you said, I may not see the tree through the forest, but when I do, I will cut it down. When I was in university, there was this professor, and he'd always say to us, because we were learning how to teach the students, and he always says, you know, there's two types of people. There's the person that sees the tree right away, and then there's other people who see the forest and, you know, with the tree in it, you know. And so that made me think of that right away. I love how he incorporated the sic semper tyrannis into the poem, and he talked about the American woodsman. It's like he went back to the source, you know, the source of everything, because we started with, you know, building up our cities, building up our homes here, and I just love this poem, and I love all of S. I think it's Scott. I love all of his work. I just love his writing every single time. So great job again here.
Absolutely, I have to agree. Powerful writing. I like here the message of how, you know, we're so busy worshiping at the feet of our idols that we forget that there are people out there that need our help, that need our protection, that, you know, that democracy is something that we need to speak up for. You know, I really liked this all the way through, but particularly that first stanza. You know, God willing, of course, to scale the walls, to tear down that which you say you are defending. And I like he says that not that you are defending, but that you say you are defending. I really thought that added to the power of the right. So very well done. All right, and I have to say, thank you, Naomi and Phil, as always, for being wonderful co-hosts. I truly appreciate you both. thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, is listening now, or will be listening later. You're all truly appreciated. Thank you to Casey, Robbie, and Frank for hanging out on the board. This has been a great show, and I very much have enjoyed myself. And make sure to check out the contest that Naomi is running for next week's Twisted Tuesdays, because it's an artist from Canada that is a friend of hers, and they just absolutely stunning artwork.
Mm-hmm.
I highly recommend it.
My friend Christine Genet from Quebec City, so I'm showcasing her art. Yeah.
Very cool. And, of course, make sure to check out all the contests and topic boards put up by our late night poets, hosts, and hostesses. You're sure to find something to inspire. And have a good night, everyone.
Yeah, good night, Pam. Good night, everybody.